It's quite a long line to draw from a writer's studio in Michigan in 2014 to the west coast of America during World War II. That's where over 110,000 people of Japanese ancestry were ordered by the U.S. government to walk away from their lives and report to internment camps. This dark chapter in our history ultimately resulted in more than $1.6 billion in reparations being paid to those Japanese Americans who'd been interned or to their heirs. Matt Faulkner describes himself as an author and illustrator for kids. This Michigan writer's new graphic novel tells the story of the internment camp through the eyes of a teenager named Koji Miyamoto. Koji's father is Japanese, his mother is white. The title of this graphic novel is Gaijin. Matt Faulkner, so good to have you with us.
It's good to be here, Ms. Candy.
Well, this title, Gaijin, is very important to understand the very tough position that you've put Koji in. Explain what that word means.
Gaijin in the 1940s was a derogatory term. It was a racial epithet that was not nice. And when I talk about Gaijin to people who were around at that time, they're very put off by it. But it's interesting, the definition has changed over the past 60, 70 years, so that now it's more, it just, if you go to Japan, you will just naturally be called Gaijin.
Because you're an outsider?
Yeah, you're an outsider. Okay. And that's what it means, outsider. It literally means outside person.
Mm.
But it's still, you know, there are people who still believe that it has, it's a real slander. It's not nice to be called that.
So what you show us in your graphic novel is how being half white in the internment camp is just as tough as being half Japanese in San Francisco during World War II.
Yeah. I will talk with indignation as a human being to see that they put sick people, pregnant women, elderly, babies. Two-thirds of the 110,000 people put in these camps were children under the age of 14, okay? At the same time, my mother was a child during that time. My uncle was a Marine pilot who fought over Okinawa in a Corsair, while his great-aunt, Adeline, was in the camp.
And that's what I want to get to, because one might wonder why a Michigan children's author and illustrator wants to tell this story of a boy in an internment camp, but it really happened in your family. Your great aunt, Adeline Conlon, Irish American, married a man named Ichiro while she was on tour in Japan in the 1920s.
Yeah, she was a vaudeville singer and very successful. Mm. And she had gotten invited to travel to the Orient, as they called it back then.
They did, yeah.
And she made her way to Tokyo, met Ichiro there, and he was part of an industrial family, well to do. And we have one picture of her. They got married, of her pregnant with her daughter, Mary. But during the 20s, anti-Western sentiments started to grow as the fascist government started to get in power in Japan. And there started to be some tension between her and Ichiro. And then there was a massive earthquake during the mid-1920s.
Yeah.
60,000 people died. All of these things together, she said, I want to go back to the States for a little while, and then I'll come back. She went, I guess, in the late 20s, brought Mary with her, and lived with my great-grandmother and my great-grandfather. Eventually, she was not accepted there either. Her mother and father, her father, my great-grandfather, kicked her out.
And this is before the attack on Pearl Harbor.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
This was the 1930s.
Mm-hmm.
She had married outside of her religion and her race. Her daughter was a half-breed, you know, Mary.
Yeah.
They eventually moved in with my grandmother, my mother's mother, who was disabled. And she took care of them for a little while, but it was too much. And she had to go to – she decided to go to California. Mary grew up. And she already had two kids by the time – I think she was 19 years old by the time Pearl Harbor happened.
Hmm.
She was pregnant with a third. And when they shipped Mary and her mother and her two babies, she gave birth at Manzanar internment camp.
Right.
She gave birth 2 weeks after she arrived in one of the tar paper shacks.
So, and life in the Manzanar camp for Adeline and her children inform what you've put into your graphic novel, Gaijin, and what happens to Koji and his mother. And I think for anyone who has not looked in more deeply to this, you really make it very clear that this was not going away to camp. This was very unpleasant. They'd walked away from their lives. There was a lot of things that you show us that happened in the camp that should not have happened to these people. It's interesting. You've attracted some major backing for this graphic novel. As we see, George Takei wrote a review of the book, and it was also published by Disney. So that's some interesting attention for an artist from Southeast Michigan doing this story. Is it because of the nature, do you think, of the story?
First of all, I'm going to just let you know that Mr. Takei let me know that his name rhymes with I'm so gay.
Thank you, Mr. Takei. Yeah. He's a fun presence on Facebook. I'll just tell you that. Everybody passes George Takei.
What a dear man.
Yeah,
I got the pleasure of working with him. I just sent him one of these promo pieces that Disney put together. It's just the first 12 pages of the book, and he jumped on it, and he got right back to me. His partner, his spouse, Brad, emailed me back and said, "Yeah, we'd like to help. We're gonna." And he sent he's very busy. He's become extremely popular. In addition to all of the Star Trek stuff,
right?
Then I said to him, "You know, you've been so kind. Would you mind doing a voiceover for a brief animation that'll advertise the book?" And he said, "Sure, just get a studio and I'll go in there and do it." He's he's the sweetest guy.
Was he surprised that this guy from Michigan was trying to tell the story of the Japanese-American internees? Or was he just glad somebody was trying to get it out there?
I think he's just glad that more people are willing to talk about it right now. Mm-hmm. There is some... it gets a little like, why is a white Irish Catholic dude interested in this?
Taking this on.
Yeah. Yeah. And honestly, you know, I wrote another children's book called A Taste of Colored Water that's about a water fountain that had the word colored over it.
Yeah.
And kids thought it was fruit-flavored water. And people didn't, you know, why are you telling that story?
Why
is
it important for you to share difficult stories like this?
I don't like bullies. When I was a child, we can get out the violins, but everybody has bully issues, right? You know, everybody has experienced it one time or another. And to me, the idea that a person can feel better by allowing themselves to think that someone else is less than them, that's their process for themselves feeling better, is really part of is a disease. And something that no disease can be done away with by hiding it. We have to keep on putting it on the table, and especially for children. Children are more than happy to talk about this stuff. They want to. What's been fascinating to me has been the grown-ups who get fidgety in their chairs when we start talking about this stuff. And also the people who come up to me afterwards in schools and libraries who quietly want to share with me their experience of a colored water fountain or how their aunt or their cousin was in California during World War II and their neighbor got put in a camp and how sad that, you know, these stories. And people are still quiet about it and there's trepidation about it. And I just find that, you know, when that is the issue, we need to talk. We got to put it out there on the coffee table and say, hey, this is something we're going to talk about.
Well, a fascinating, fascinating book. And you can learn more about Gaijin and also Matt Faulkner's work. Go to the website, GaijinAmericanPrisonerOfWar.com. GaijinAmericanPrisonerOfWar.com. And it's spelled GAIJIN. Matt, pleasure to meet you. And thanks so much for talking with us.
Thank you, Cynthia.